finish, we start. And that's Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. And my suggestion would be to start from the Gemara and then go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah deals with Ochel Trumas Chametz V'Pesach B'Shogeg Meshal and Keren V'Chomesh B'Meis Mishpatar Mitashlim Edmei Eitzim. But to understand the Mishnah, we have to first see it in the context of the Gemara, namely Chametz we've been learning about for a long time. But Truma we've dabbled with, we've touched, but over here the Gemara goes into Truma straight away and starts with, brings the Mishnah of Truma and then sees Chametz in the context of Truma. So let's try and see the Mishnah in the context of the Gemara. Tanan Hasan. The Gemara points out that we have a Mishnah in Trumas in Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. Ha'ochel Truma B'Shogeg Meshalim Keren V'Chomesh. Echad Ha'ochel, Echad Ha'Shosa, Echad Ha'Soch, Echad Truma Tzmeya V'Echad Truma Tahara, Meshalim Chomesh V'Chumsha D'Chumsha. All of this is a quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is working off of one pasuk. We have one pasuk in Parashas Emor, in Perek Kaf Beis, Pasuk Yudalad, V'yish ki yochal kodesh bishgaga, V'yasaf chamishiso alav, V'nasan la'kohen es ha-kodesh. That's the Pasuk. V'yish ki yochal kodesh bishgaga, Chazal understood kodesh over here is truma, V'yasaf chamishiso alav, V'nasan la'kohen es ha-kodesh. And Chazal or Dorish, this Pasuk in the Mishnah, that here we have the conditions of this payment. When are we going to find that in Truma Bishgaga that there's going to be a payment of Keren V'Chomesh? Firstly, V'ishki Yochal. First we need Achila. And here the Mishnah tells us that Achila consists of three separate acts, Achila, Shtiya, and Sach. And Rashi points out that we have a general principle that Shtiya B'chal Achila, that we find in the world of Yom Kippur, and then we have a principle that Sicha Kishasiya, and as such, if one goes through any of these three acts, then there's going to be Keren V'Chomesh. If, let's say, one were to simply take Truma and toss it into the ocean, or one were to take Truma and burn it as fuel, then there would not be Keren V'Chomesh. That's not Achila. Only when you have Achila do we have Keren V'Chomesh. A. B. Echad Truma Tahora V'Echad Truma Tumeya, namely, that Ishki Yochal Kodesh. The fact that you're metame truma doesn't take away its status of being kodesh. It limits what can be done with it. Truma tmeya cannot be eaten by the kohen. Truma tmeya can only be used for purposes of fuel. The kohen can be nehene from truma tmeya. It can be fed to the kohen's animals. That's what they do in the Israel, in the Yerushalayim zoo, right? That all the animals are considered to be the animals of Shevet Kahuna. And so the trumos that are taken off in Tnuv and Yerushalayim, that's fed to the animals in the zoo. But they can't be eaten by the Kohanim themselves. However, clearly this is Kodesh. So were we to have a Zar, were we to have a non-Kohen who were to eat Truma Tmeya, there would be a Chiyuv of Keren V'Chomesh. We have Achila, we have Kodesh, so there would be Keren V'Chomesh. And thirdly, Meshalim Chumsha, that the Torah says, V'yasaf Chamishiso Alav, the Chiddush over here is Chumsha D'Chumsha. Namely, that were one to go ahead and now eat that Chomesh, one would have to pay again Keren V'Chomesh. Here, the Mishnah is telling us something very, very unique about the world of Keren V'Chomesh, that even though normally Keren, when you pay Keren, if you're Mazik, if you're Gozel, you pay in Shavah Kesef. You could pay in money, you could pay in cracker jacks, you could pay in whatever you want. By Truma, it says, V'nasan la'kohen es ha-kodesh. You have to pay that which could be Truma. Namely, you have to pay in barter, in peros. You pay in peros, and that those peros then become kodesh. There is a daya in the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva that you have to pay min b'mino, namely that if you eat grapes, you have to pay in grapes. If you eat, if you were to eat nectarines, you have to pay nectarines. We don't pass them that way. You can eat grapes and pay in nectarines. But you have to pay in food, and then that food becomes kodesh. So were you to now eat that food, even though it was chulin, you paid with chulin. But the moment that you paid the kohen, this now becomes truma, v'nasan la'kohen es ha-kodesh. Were you to eat from that, again there would be keren v'chomesh. That over here is included in the chumsha d'chumsha. So here we have an overview of the dinim of a person who eats truma b'shogeg. What the Gemara over here is now asking is that which goes beyond the Mishnah. Namely, what is the criteria of paying the Keren? Iboy lehu kishu mishalem lefi mida mishalem o lefi damim mishalem. Let's try and approach this inductively. Namely, let's try and think simply a priori. What would we say if we were to not know anything? If we were to be asked, how should Truma be paid? Should it be paid Lafi Mida or Lafi Damim? How would we deal with this issue? What questions would we ask ourselves? Is there a standard over here? Is one of these payments a payment of Kol HaTorah Kula and the other one is an exception? Do we find both of these as models B'Kol HaTorah Kula? What do you say? What would be the situation B'Kol HaTorah Kula? If someone were to go into my house and eat my apples without my permission, how would he pay? Lefi damim. Namely, that the rule b'chol haTorah kula, any situation where you have a gazlan or you have a mazik, and the object is no longer around, then you pay lefi damim. Kol hagazlanim mishalmim kishas hagzela. That we have a rule that the criteria of payment is paying back the value that you caused a loss. When you eat someone's apples, you're causing him a loss of value. If you toss his apples into the ocean, that's a loss of value. If you burn down his house, that's a loss of value. You have to pay the loss of value. That's what we call lefi damim. Okay? Nafgamina, of course, would be, what if you destroyed something that was valueless, halachically? In other words, let's say we're talking about chametz on Pesach. Someone went into my house and ate my chametz on Pesach, but my chametz on Pesach is worthless. It's Yisuri Hana. So according to the criteria of Kol HaTorah Kula, there's no payment. He didn't do it. He didn't harm me. He didn't cause me a monetary loss because he ate that which was worthless. Or, Nachmina, we'll see later on in the Gemaras, we have cases of Yukra Vizula, when the price goes up or the price goes down. So we call it Gazlanim Mishamim Kishas HaGzela. What he did, namely at the time that he caused me an injury, how much was it worth at that moment? That was the loss that he caused me. So, were we to say, and so one option over here is lefi damim mishalem, namely let's use the criteria of Kol HaTorah Kula. In Achinami we have anomalies. The anomaly is that you have to pay back dafka in fruit. The anomaly is that we're going to have a chiyuv chomesh, but the payment is basically a payment of loss. And therefore, the criteria should be one of damim. That's one option in the Gemara. What would be the option of lefi mida mishalem? What over here would mida represent? Damim represents the value which is lost. That's a criteria of Kol HaTorah Kula. Why in the world would we want to view chametz as sui generis? Why would we want to view it as a total exception to the rule? Well, maybe because we put everything together, namely that we say that when you eat chametz, this is a halacha only for eating. Were you not to eat the truma, were you not to eat the truma, were you to simply toss the truma into the garbage, were you to burn the truma, there would not be this din of keren v'chomesh. That would be really lefi damim. Were you to destroy truma, that would be lefi damim. But here we have a pasuk in the Torah that when you eat, namely, eat, drink, or your sach, your body, you massage it into your skin, anoint yourself, what is it called in English? Okay, sach, whatever, when you do one of these three actions, then A, you have to, we're dealing with a specific type of act, B, we're dealing with a payment which is specifically keren v'chomesh, C, you have to pay back in fruit, D, that fruit now becomes Kodesh. All of that together would seem to indicate this is not simply a question of repaying value, but rather we have over here, as Ravari mentioned, we have over here a form of kapara. That sof kol sof, we're talking about Kodesh. You were pogeya in Kodesh. You went ahead and you misused Kodesh. If you misuse Kodesh, then we have over here a need of atonement. And perhaps over here, once we're not dealing with lefi damim, but we're dealing with an atonement, maybe this would go lefi mida, namely that your atonement would be to take the volume of that which you were pogeya, and that volume to replace, namely that your atonement would be to replace the truma. You were pogeya in Kodesh, so now you're going to take chulin, and you're going to replace the truma. This chulin is now going to be called truma. It's going to have the status of truma. It's going to be 20% more valuable than that which you took. And so all of this would serve as an act of atonement. So one way of understanding over here is the machlokes between the iboiluhu, the two options that we'll see later on is machlokes tanoim, would be a question, are we paying over here as a gazlan? Do we view this individual as a gazlan? Do we view him as someone who is gozel the kohen? Is this a din, like a din mamonos, a din in choshen mishpat? Or is this a din in yaredeya? Is this a din in kapara? Is this a din in vayikra? Would you pay lefi damim or would you pay lefi mida? Yes?
One problem with saying that it's kapara and that it should be mida is that one could do it, one is still using the somewhat objective value of the object to determine how much the kapara is worth.
No, mida is not a question of value. Mida is a question of quantity. But we're saying what happens, or no, in the tremendous nafkamina, what happens then if you went ahead and ate chametz? So if you're replacing value, value is zero. If we're dealing with quantity, and the moment that you're paying with produce, so when you give that quantity of produce, you're paying value, namely that you're there, yes?
And then, but still, we're relating to, whether we say it's dummy or we say it's midah, we're relating to what was taken as something real. In other words, we're not saying it doesn't exist. We're evaluating the heave of kapara based on this amount. Now the value might change, the value might be nothing, but it was still relating to it.
100%, certainly. Certainly we're relating to it. The question is, what is our heave? Is our heave to replace, is our heave to reinstate value, or is our heave to replace quantity? In other words, the concept of kol haTorah kula, every gazel and every mazik has to fill in the value that he caused the loss. Masha Einkein over here, if we're dealing with a kapara, we could speak of a different criteria. We could speak about the criteria of volume of the object per se, rather than a question of value, a volume as opposed to value. However, I simplified matters very, very much, and I'd like to stretch it out a little bit. In terms of Mida, Mida clearly is an exception to the rule. Mida clearly would be something that would be unique to the world of Truma, that we'd say that we have over here a Kapara. There's no question about that. But using Damim could be understood in two manners. Using Damim, using value as a criteria, perhaps this is what Rav Aaron was hinting at, could be that we are dealing over here with the din of Kol haTorah Kula, or perhaps we're also dealing with the din of atonement. However, if we were to ask, what is the criteria of atonement? Maybe the criteria of the atonement is replacing value as opposed to replacing quantity. Namely, maybe over here, everyone agrees that we're dealing with the question of atonement. This is brought in the middle of Parashas Emor, but this is not brought in Parashas Mishpatim. Ish ki yochal kodesh bishgaga v'yasaf chamishiso alav v'nasan l'kohen es ha-kodesh. It could be clearly over here the criteria is one of kapara. The question is, how do you atone? Do you atone with a payment as though you were a gazlan, or do you atone with a totally new criteria? And we do that the machlokes over here as to whether we're dealing with damim or as to whether we're dealing with mida could be understood as a basic question: are we dealing over here with a din of kol haTorah kula? There we have a gazlan. You're stealing from the kohen. The kohen has truma. You're stealing his truma. We're going to view you as a gazlan, and that's how we get to damim. Or are we viewing this as a din of kapara, right? And then we're going to come to mida. In other words, gazlan over here, this is a din of paying back value, of dealing with the chisaron, the loss that was caused. Kapara is we can use the criteria over here of kamut, of quantity. Or perhaps, no, that everyone agrees we're talking over here about kapara. The whole context is one of kapara. The fact that you're paying chomesh, the fact that you're paying fruit, the fact that you're adding that it turns into truma, it's dafka din and ochel, right? The fact that the dafka, the ochel, is paying. Right? So certainly it's a question of kapara. The question is, how do we determine the kapara? Is the kapara determined ki'ilu gazal? That we view it, in other words, as a case of stealing, and then you have to fill in the chisaron and you pay shovi. Or do we say that the kapara is alpi kamut she'achal? That we go according to, not according to value, but we go according to volume. These are two options within the Gemara. Namely, clearly, if it's mida, it's kapara. There's no question that mida is kapara. The question is damim a din of gazlan, or is it also a din of kapara? But this is the question of how to view the kapara. These are, lechora, two options that are on the table. But then the Gemara takes it one step further and adds in one more factor. The Gemara then continues, Kol hecha demi kara shavya dalad zuze ulbasof shavya zuza lo tiboylach devadai kedemi kara mishalim lafi damin delogara mi gazlan tenan kol gazlan mishamit shasak zela ki tiboylach demi kara shavya zuza ulbasof shavya dalad mai lafi mida mishalim amalei gir yua achal gir yua mishalim odilma lafi damin mishalim bezuza achal bezuza Mishalem. Namely, what does the Gemara add in over here that the Gemara takes for granted? In other words, that this is certainly something that has to be taken for granted. Kol hecha de mikara shav yadalad u besof shav yezuzah lo tiboyla. What's the Gemara over here adding? Let's take we have two ways of learning the entire machlokas of Lefi Damim or Lefi Mida. Are we dealing with a local machlokas within Kapara, or are we dealing with an overall machlokas? Do we view this person as a gazlan, or does he require Kapara? Let's take A. In other words, that we have over here, it's two extremes, a polar machlokas. Are we dealing with the din of Koshen Mishkot, or are we dealing with the din of Iser Veheter? What realm are we dealing with? What over here is the Gemara adding into our chart? What do we have to add into our chart over here? That certainly, if we're dealing with a person who ate a quantity of truma when it was worth 4, and now when we come to court, that the price went down, and that same quantity is only worth 1, clearly he pays 4. Namely, what are we adding in over here? If he's paying as a gazlan, right? If he's paying damin, would he pay 4?
Yes.
Certain. We're not changing this. What are we changing? That this, in other words, that when he pays lefi mida, we have to add in that the payment lefi mida is gazlan plus kapara. In other words, that no one says he's not a gazlan. Clearly he's a gazlan. He's stealing from the kohen. He's taking from the Kohen's, the Kohen has a drawer of apples, of truma. He goes into the house of the Kohen. He's not aware that these apples are truma. He's ochel b'shogeg. And he clearly has taken away from the Kohen the apples. In addition, from taking away from the Kohen, he also ate truma. In other words, but the kapara is not, is he a gazlan or is it a kapara? Clearly, he's a gazlan and he requires kapara. According to the first approach, he's only a gazlan. The payment over here is as a gazlan, but because he stole truma, so he has to pay a knas of chomesh, and he has to give it in fruit, and it becomes truma, etc. According to the second, no, he's a gazlan plus kapara. Right? So if the price went from 4 to 1, he has to pay 4 because he's a gazlan. In Achinami, the kapara is only to give back the quantity of apples. The kapara would be to give back 1. But clearly he's a gazlan. And we, in other words, what we say over here is the question, is he only a gazlan, or is he a gazlan plus kapara? And when it goes from 4 to 1, clearly, according to both sides, he's going to pay 4. The difference is, what happens when it goes from 1 to 4? That then on the level of gazlan, you pay 1, And over here, on the level of Gazlan, you pay one, but because of the kapara, you have to pay back the same quantity of apples, and now that's four. Anyway, the difference is only when the price goes up, not when the price goes down. So over here, in other words, the question would be, is he only a Gazlan, or is he a Gazlan plus kapara? If we move over to the second side of the equation, we say everyone agrees it's a kapara. But the question is, how does he pay the kapara? Does he pay the kapara to Gazlan, or does he pay the kapara in terms of value? In terms of value, does he pay value, or does he pay volume? If we understand this is the machlokas, then what do we have to add into our chart? What do we add into our chart? Everyone agrees it's kapara. According to Mando Amar Damim, the kapara is clear. The kapara is paying back the loss of value. Paying back the loss of value. According to the Mando Amar Mida, when it goes from 4 to 1, the Gemara says clearly you pay 4. The volume is only 1. So we have to check, put in over here, Alpia Kamucha Achal, O Hachisaron Shegorab. Right? Whichever of these is the higher value, is the higher amount. We go according to volume or according to value. Namely, Lo Gora Mi Gazlan. He's no worse than a Gazlan. So whichever of these happens to be the higher amount, whichever is higher. Again, so according to the Man Damar Damim, either we say he's only a Gazlan, as opposed to the Man Damar Amida, he says he's a Gazlan plus he needs Kapara, or we say that certainly it's Kapara. The question is the Kapara always going to be designated by the loss of value, or do we have two criteria, volume or value, whichever is higher. So then, according to this way of understanding, Nafkamina is, what happens if you steal, if you steal something at the price of one, you steal something at the price of one, and it goes down, this is when you ate it, it was one, and when the court case comes in Bezdin, now it's worth four. So if we're talking about damim, you pay one. Over here you have damim plus kapara. So the damim would be gazlan plus gazlan be one, but the kapara means you have to pay four. In this approach, here you pay one. Here you pay the higher. The higher is not the value. The value is what you ate. The higher is the volume. Right? But now you pay four. So this then would be the nafkamina. This is what the Gemara is telling us, that when it goes from four to one, everyone agrees that you pay four because you're a Gazlan, or you pay as a Gazlan. When it goes from one to four, here we have the nafkamina. Okay, this is what we have in front of us. Now you understand that these boxes over here, these four boxes, are interchangeable. Namely, it could be the machlokas is the damim is A and mida is A. This is the machlokas. It could be this is the machlokas, or it could be this is the machlokas, or it could be this is the machlokas. Namely, we have over here two deos. We have a deo of damim, we have a deo of mida. Damim could mean one of these two, and mida could mean one of these two. Either one is fine. In other words, that we can have any permutation that we want within this machlokas. I'm stressing all of this in order to be able to come to a very powerful question that Rabbi Akiva Eger raises. Rabbi Akiva Eger is raising his question according to a certain understanding of the Gemara. And I hope that within this chart, Rabbi Akiva Eger's question would be clear, and the answer to his question, Lechora, would also be clear. Look in the side of the Gemara, we have a Gilyon Hashas of Rabbi Akiva Eger. This is an unusual Gilyon Hashas, because usually Gilyon Hashases are Ayein, Babakama Samachay, Vitzarach Yun Gadol. And we have to try and figure out what in the world did he see as a stira between our Gemara and Baba Kama Daf Samachay Amid Beis. And there are books that have been written. There was Rabbi Shevel Zatzal who put out the first scientific edition of the Ramban with footnotes, etc. He was also editor of a journal called Hadarom that was put out by the Histadrut HaRabbanim in America. And he had the ongoing column of going through every Gilyon Hashas in Shas and trying to explain what was his question and maybe how we can answer it. That, you know, it's every volume of Hadaron came out with a few lines of the editor of Shevel going through from Brachos. I don't know if he ever finished, but you know, he was just going through one Gilyon HaShas after another. Here, there's no question what the Gilyon HaShas was bothered by. The question is, do we have a way of dealing with it? Look over here in the Gilyon HaShas, the Logora Migazlan, Koshali. It appears from the Gemara that when we're going in a situation where something had been worth four when it was eaten, and then it went down to one, then there's no machlokas. Everyone agrees you pay four, because here you pay four because you're a gazlan, here you pay four because the kapara is on top of being a gazlan, here you pay four because you pay according to the criteria of a gazlan, here you pay four because here the value is more than the volume, and so you pay four. So everyone agrees in this case that you pay four. That's what the Gemara seems to say. The whole nafkamina is when something goes from one to four, then if you're a gazlan, you pay one, but if we have another criteria of kapara, then you pay four. That's what the Gemara points out. Rabbi Akiva Eger says this is not clear at all. Kashali, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, Hamikomakom nafkamina, that even in the case where something was worth four and goes down to one, there's nafkamina. Di'im eino chayav rak midin gazlan, if you're paying as mitzad domim, yochol l'shalem chad giryuha b'peiros lot, I'm sorry, if you, di'im eino chayav, I'm sorry, di'im eino chayav rak midin gazlan, I'm sorry, if we're dealing with the person who's paying, the mandomer says you pay l'fi midah, and we put in that this person is gazlan plus, he's a gazlan plus kapara, or the kapara is judged by either of these two factors. Hamikomakom nachkamina, di'im eino chayev rak midin gazlan, yochol l'shalem chad gir yuha b'peiros lotzeis yidei kapara, v'hash'ar mishalem b'mo'os, v'hakohen yochol limchol, v'gam hachomesh hu rak min chad gir yuha, avol im l'fi domim tzarech l'shalem dalet gir yuha, v'chumsha mipri, v'hakohen eino yochol limchol. What he's saying is as follows. When something goes from four to one, you say to the Gemara that everyone agrees you pay four. This is not so simple. If we are paying says Rabbi Akiva Eger that if we're paying according to domim, if we're paying according to value, then three things. I'm just switching the order of Rabbi Akiva Eger so it'll be a little easier. Then four. Then when you pay four. In other words, the keren is four. The chomesh is going to work off of the four. The chomesh will work off of the four, and the kohen yochol. The kohen, sorry. The keren is four. The chomesh is working off of the four. It's a fifth of the four. A fifth of the four, we say, is one, because you add in the one to the four, and then you make the fifth. And the kohen, eino yochol limchol. Masha enkein, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, if we're paying according to If we're paying according to Mida, then Rabbi Akiva Eger says the Keren, when it goes from four to one, is one, namely the basket of fruit, plus the difference between the one and the four, or the one plus three, the Chomesh would only be working off of the one, and the Kohen Yochol Limchol on the three. And what Rabbi Akiva Eger is saying is that if we're dealing with the world of Damim, the Keren is that which you ate, the Chomesh works off of that which you ate, And the Kohen cannot be mochel. This is not his to be mochel. If we're working over the world of Mida, the Keren is one, right? The Kamut is, in other words, the amount of apples is one. But because you're also a Gazlan, now you have to fill in three in order to be able to get to the four. So it's one plus three. However, the Chomesh is only working off of the one. And the, in other words, the Chomesh over here would be one quarter. And the Kohen could be Mocho on this three, because this three is added in. When you look at the chart, which Damim is Rabbi Akiva Eger talking about, and which Mida is Rabbi Akiva Eger talking about? We have over here, Damim could mean you're only a Gazlan. Damim can mean it's a Kapara, but it's Ki'ivu you stole. Mida could mean that you're a Gazlan plus Kapara, or Mida could mean that we have one payment of Kapara, but volume or value, whichever is higher. When Rabbi Akiva Eger asked his question, how was he understanding Damim? How was he understanding Mida? Let's just add in one hint, and that is that Mechila is Shayach in the world of Gzela. If my value of my property went down, and he owes me to fill in the value, I can be mochel. I can't be mochel kapara. Kapara is God's. Kapara is atonement. It's not up to the Kohen to be mochel kapara. So that this should be the hint. According to Rabbi Akiva, how did he understand Damim? According to A or according to B? Has to be B. The moment he says the Kohen can't be mochel, it means Rabbi Akiva understood that Damim means it's a kapara according to the criteria of Gezeila. Kapara according to the criteria of Gezeila means the Keren is four. That's the criteria of Gezeila. Chomesh is a percentage of the four, and the Kohen can't be mochel. So this over here is Rabbi Akiva Eger's Damim. What is Rabbi Akiva Eger's Mida? He understood that Mida is, how many chiyuvim are there within the Mida? Two chiyuvim. You have a chiyuv of kapara and a chiyuv of gzeila. You're a gazlan and a chiyuv of kapara. This is Rabbi Akiva Eger's Mida. On the level of the kapara, you owe one. But that's not enough because you're also a gazlan. You have to fill in with three to get to four. The chomesh, however, is only on the kapara. So that's one quarter of the one. And the Kohen can be mochel on the three, because the three is pure gezeila. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, how can the Gemara say that when it goes from four to one, there's no question that these two are equal? They're not equal, because the kapara is going to come up with, in other words, according to Damim, you can come up with one criteria. According to me, you can come up with different criteria. Maybe Rabbi Akiva Eger understood that this is Damim, and this is Mida. When we have this combination, then they're not the same. Then they're not going to be the same. When we have this combination, they're not going to be the same. How could you answer Rabbi Akiva Eger's question? What would be the easiest way of answering Rabbi Akiva Eger's question? If we would simply be consistent and say, just like over here we have a kapara ki'ilu gozal, here the kapara is whichever is higher, the volume or the value. When it goes from 4 to 1, then the value is higher than the volume, and that's our criteria for kapara. So kapara is 4. Chomesh is going to be off the 4. The Kohen could not be mochel the 4. Namely, that if we were to learn that the machlokes is, in other words, do we have a kapara according to criteria of gezeila, or a kapara according to whichever is higher? Rabbi Akiva Eger's question would fall off. What pushed Rabbi Akiva Eger to ask the question? Why, in other words, why learn? There's nothing wrong with learning that this is the shita of Damim and this is the shita of Mida. You can learn that way, but then you have a question. If we learn the way that we, you know, I put on the board, you know, that we have over here, Mahokas, what's the kapara, then there's no question to begin with. Why would Rabbi Akiva Eger ask such a question? So over here, it's very hard from our sugya to see what pushed him. However, there is a sugya in Gittin on Daf Nun Dalet, where really Rashi learns that Mida is A. In other words, Rashi learns this way in Gittin, and that's what may have pushed Rabbi Akiva Eger in his direction. But you don't necessarily have to learn our sugya that way. But there is such a Rashi. Rashi over there says that if we're dealing with a person who ate Truma Tahora, and he wants to pay back, let's say again, he ate apples that were Truma Tahora, and now he wants to pay back with oranges that are chulin, but these oranges are tmeyim. So Rashi says that if he gives the quantity of oranges, you know, that would be the same quantity of the apples, he would be yotze the mida oraisa. He still owes money, fine, but basically he was already yotze. Just says that on top of that, a din of gazlan. That's the way Rashi learns over there. Tosfos over there disagrees, says that's not kapara. You can't choose a kamut and say on top of that there's a din of gazlan. You have to pay back, either according to volume or according to value, whichever is higher. If the higher was the value, because you're paying, so you have to pay as much oranges as would come out to the value of the apples. But Rashi over there, he gives it his mashma like this. But we would very easily answer Miki Vayir's question by simply moving over to the second side of the Gemara, that everyone agrees it's a kapara. L'chora, what our answer to Rabbi Kivager's question is a black and white Mishnah. That the Mishnah over there in Trumos, that same Mishnah which is quoted over here, on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that same Mishnah has one more line that our Gemara didn't quote. If we look over there in the Mishnah in Truma, in Perek Vav, we have, in other words, it's exactly quoted line for line in our Gemara, except for the last line. The last line of the Mishnah over there is V'imratza ha-kohen limchol eino mochel. Imratza ha-kohen limchol eino mochel. Namely, clearly we're dealing over here with the kapara. The moment we say imratza ha-kohen limchol eino mochel, so what then is the abaya of damim or mida? It's a mixture of the kapara. But the Mishnah already says this is a kapara. And in our sugya, this is pointed out by the Tosus Rid. The Tosus Rid in our sugya, Alatar, takes for granted that everyone agrees that we're dealing over here with a kapara. Perush, tashlume hashogeg lo yikaru tashlume kohen. When you eat truma b'shogeg, in no way is this viewed as paying the kohen. The katani bahu imrotza kohen limchol eino mochel. Alma ein bo'in elo the kaparas nafsho shel Yisrael. Clearly we're dealing over here with the kapara, and therefore the kohen can't be mochel. In other words, and therefore, whatever machlokas we're going to have, whether it's damim or mida, is going to be assuming that we're dealing with the kapara. Okay, but again, Kiva Eger, who wanted to say that, no, in other words, you can have a combination of kapara and gazlan, that's working off of A, but this combination that you have, these two, does is not necessarily the way you have to learn mida. You could learn mida as kapara, and then everything fits in very, very nicely. Okay, so Rabbi Kivager's question is only assuming that we have over here a certain dissonance between the way we're learning the mandamar domin and the mandamar mida. That domin is kapara, and therefore kohen eino yoholim kol, and mida is gazlan plus kapara. So on the kapara, that the kohen can't be mochel. On the kapara, there you have chomesh. But the gazlan, that which we're adding in, that is the three, on that the kohen can be mochel, that we have one plus three, not four. But that's only if we're going to learn mida as a combination. We don't have to do that. We can learn mida that we have over here, whichever is higher. Okay, so that's point number one in learning the Gemara. So the Gemara is left at this point with an open question. Are we dealing with mida or are we dealing with damim? And again, I'd rather keep to this box, you know, what we have over here. This is going to be our working model, because this fits very nicely into the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Eger's question falls off, and this is what the Tosfos Rid points out. We certainly have a kapara. The question is, how is the kapara decided? So Gemara says, Toshma, we can bring a raya from the following Gemara in Eruvin. Achal grogris, a person ate dried dates. Veshilem lo, dried figs. Achal grogris, a person ate dried figs of truma. Veshilem lo, tamarim, and he paid back with fresh dates. Tavo alav bracha. This would be a very, very proper way of payment. I amris bishlam alafi mida meshalem amtu lahachi tava olav bracha. The achal giryuha de grogris de shavya zuza ve kayohiv giruya de tmarim de shavya arba. This person gave, in other words, according to mida, you pay the higher amount, whichever is higher, volume or value. Over here, you're paying volume. You're paying the same volume, and the amount is going to be higher. Ela I amris lefi damim mishalem, amai tava lav bracha. You're paying value. Bezuza achal bezuza kamashalem. You would be giving a smaller quantity of tamarim to cover the grogros. And so why tava lav bracha? Amar Abaye li olam lefi damim mishalem, amai tava lav bracha. Do achal midi de lo kafetz alei zvine ve kamashalem midi de kafetz lo zvine. The difference over here is not in terms of price, the difference is in terms of saleability, such a word, in terms of what can be more easily sold. You're going to have a higher market for fresh tamarim than you're going to have for dried figs. And so tavel of bracha is that whichever way we learn, that this person is giving more than he's taking, and in that respect, whether we're dealing over here with lefi mido or lefi damim, he has fulfilled his atonement in the proper manner. But where lechora do we have a nafkamina, whether we're dealing with the payment according to value or volume, whichever is higher, that's the other extreme. Ochal tanan, our Mishnah, ha'ochel trumas chametz bepesach b'shogeg. Now again, here we're dealing with eating truma b'shogeg, on which you pay normally keren b'chomesh, but here we're dealing with chametz. And when you're eating it, this chametz is valueless. I amris bishlam alafi mida mishalem shapir. Our Mishnah makes sense if the two criteria are value and volume, and so currently you're paying volume. The value is meaningless, but there's a payment, the kapara is to pay volume. So then shapir, then we understand the Mishnah that you pay keren v'chomesh is what to pay. Ela I amris lefi damim mishalem chametz b'pesach bar damim hu. And so, therefore, it must be from our Mishnah that we have a raya that lefi mida mishalem. It must be we have a raya from our Mishnah that lefi mida mishalem. Okay, this is one way of learning the Mishnah. What would the seifa of the Mishnah then mean? Let's go back to our Mishnah. Ha'ochel trumas chametz b'pesach b'shogeg mishalem keren v'chomesh b'mezid pater mitashlumin u'midmei etzim. What happens if you eat trumas chametz b'mezid? Clearly, that is the din of kol ha'Torah kula. Kol ha'Torah kula, you pay back kol ha'gazlon and mishamish ha'sagzela. You pay value. Here, it's meaning it's valueless. So therefore, pater mi'atashlumin. And similarly, if you ate that which is truma tmeya that normally would have a value of fuel, but on Pesach, it's valueless, and therefore part of mitashlumin d'mei etzim. Namely, the difference between the reisha and the seifa is that the reisha, we're talking about eating trumas chametz b'pesach b'shogeg, and on shogeg we have a din of keren and chomesh in terms of mida, and so even though it's aser b'hanah, there's going to be a payment. Mashen kein b'mezid, here there's no din of keren b'chomesh. This mezid is a din of gezel b'chol ha'Torah kula, and it's worthless, it's valueless. So then you have a p'tur. So the Mishnah works out very beautifully if you hold lefi mida. So what do we do according to the other side of the equations? The Gemara says as follows: Eliyamitz lefi damim mishalei imchanis pesach bar damim hu in. We could set up our Mishnah even according to the mandamar of damim hamani Rav Yosi haglili hi, that we know that even though Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold that chametz on Pesach is aser b'hana'ah, Rav Yosi Aglili holds that chametz on Pesach is muter b'hana'ah. Damar chametz on Pesach muter b'hana'ah. And therefore the reisha, ha'ochel trumas chametz on Pesach mishalem keren v'chomesh, because even according to value, it has value. I, what then about the Sefer? What do we do with the Sefer? Yehachi ema Sefer b'mezid patr mena tashlumin umid d'mei eitzim. Yer Rav Yosef Guli, am I patr mena tashlumin umid d'mei eitzim? So, of course, so, there is value that's involved. It could be used as fuel. Savar like Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, here you're off on a technicality. The Tanya of Nechunya ben Hakana haya oses Yom Kippur k'shabbos l'tashlumin. And that, according to Nechunya ben Hakana, not only do we have a din of Kamei Bidravin when you have a Chiyuv Misa, also when you have a Chiyuv Kares, also when you have a Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim, when you eat Truma B'mezid, you have a Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim. So then, in that case, since you're Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim, there's not going to be a din of Tashlumin. Masha'en came in the Reisha, here you ate Truma Aschometz B'Pesach B'Shogeg, there's no Misa Bidei Shamayim, there's Karen B'Chomesh, and that lends itself to Karen B'Chomesh because we have over here value. Yes?
This is a close question, but in the earlier step where we said it makes sense if it's about Mida, but Tamim is problematic, don't we suppose find that Nisar Hanav has no Mida as well? In other words, like by Lula, it does not Mida because something is sorry.
Very, very fine. You're asking is that in the world of Asherah, we say Ksuse Mechtas Shi'ure. But that's a unique halacha within Avodah Zarah. Uh-huh. That's unique din within Avodah Zarah. It doesn't apply to Chametz and Pesach. Sure. What?
Sure,
what
happened?
Right. In other words, you're correct that there is such a din of Susa Mesa Shiuri, but it doesn't apply over here to the world of Chametz. Yes?
When the Gemara brings in the Pliny Atanya,
yes?
Does that assume that the Sefa of the Mishnah, when it says amazed, it's talking about the Chametz Mezid?
So that's Rashi over here deals with at length, and Rashi points out that l'chora, the Rashi k'rav nechunya ben hakana. Look over here in the Daflam Bezim at Aleph. Domar hamachayiv kores patam and tashlumin. The Aleph time, as we saw, may ason from the ason of the chiyuv misa in Parshas Mishpatim to the ason of Binyamin, that he would, you know, that the fear of Yaakov Avinu was karehu ason, that would be min hashamayim. V'hu ha'din l'mischayev misas shamayim gona ochel truma mezid. V'seifa demas nisin behizid betruma. V'lo b'chametz u'pater mishum misa. U'bedin hu d'rashmina b'mezid betruma da'alma d'lav chametz u'pesach d'pater tashlum mishum misa. Namely, it has nothing to do with the world of chametz. U'mishum reisha nakat milsa chametz u'pesach rashmina hecha d'shogak b'shneihem d'chayev d'chametz bar domim hu. The whole chiddush over here is that we pass on Rav Yossi haglili. The shogeg dereisha has to be shogeg b'shneihem. The shogeg b'chametz v'hizid b'truma, again, we're going to have a problem with Nechunya ben Hakana. My chomesh ika, the shogeg b'truma v'hizid b'chametz, amay meshayim ha'ichayev reikares. V'seif ha'shmuinan, the hizid b'truma, afilu shogeg b'chametz, pater demisa v'shamayim ki kares. The hizid b'chametz, ha'pater mishum kares, that you don't need truma for. In other words, so the moment that the Mishnah mentions truma and chametz, the chiddush of the reisha is that chametz is muter b'hana'a on Pesach. The chiddush of the sefer is that misi b'dei shamayim is the equivalent of kares. So you have a chiddush in both situations. That's the way Rashi understands, and it's very, very, I think, you know, it fits in very nicely. Don't we find that every time that we have a kamei d'rabbanan in a world of mezid, that in the world of shogeg, tana d'beichiska, they are also patur? This we ask back on Kaftes Amud Aleph, and we pointed out that the moment we're dealing with kapara is a different world. Okay? And so over here, since we're dealing with the tashlum of, in shogeg, it's a tashlum of kapara, that's why even though we have normally a din of tana d'beichiska, it doesn't apply to the world of truma. Truma is a din, is a world of kapara, and so it fits in very nicely with our B column that everyone agrees we're dealing over here with a world of kapara. Whether we say lefi damim or lefi mida is a world of kapara. So we have then two understandings of the Mishnah. What's fascinating is that when we go back to the Mishnah and look at the Mefarshim on the Mishnah, we find not one, not two, but three Perushim of the Mishnah. So let's go back to Rashi. Rashi on the Mishnah says as follows, Ha'ochel trumas chametz b'shogeg. Rashi says, Shogag b'truma. Afilu hizid b'chametz, mishalim keren b'chomesh. Af al gav de lo havi yashav yamidi, b'chametz ha'pesach osir b'hana'a. Mihu shogeg d'truma, k'siv bu b'chamisho yosef alo v'nasan l'kwenes ha'kodesh. Dova haroi lios kodesh. Eno yochol l'shalim l'mo'os el ha'peros. Hatashlumin na'asu truma, k'dol kaman. Lav l'fi domen mishalim. However, if we're dealing with mezid, he's a betruma afilush shagag bechametz. They're potter min atashlumin. And even if we're talking about truma tmeya, why mishum? Going skipping a line, the truma mezid ein bochomesh ve'ein tashlum el kapara ein naas in truma legabe chomesh b'shkagaksiv avol mezid ein el kishar gazlan the alma mishalim maos ulafi damim lo lafi hamida. Namely, Rashi understands the Mishnah, Rashi learns the Mishnah, like the Havamin of the Gemara, that the Mishnah is a Raya, that Lefi Mida Mishalim. The Resha is Lefi Mida, and the Seifa, when you're dealing with Mezid, that's Lefi Damim. So Rashi learns the Mishnah on the level of Lefi Mida Mishalim. If we look over here in Rabbeinu Hananel, Masnisin, three lines from the, in my edition, three lines from the bottom. Ha'ochel trumas chametz v'pesach b'shogeg, mishalim keren v'chomesh, v'mezid ho'il v'chayav kores, pater min atashlumin d'mei eitzim. Namely, perush, lo tomar choshev zeh ha'truma shachalta, ata ki ilu sarafta ota v'neneta mimena v'ata chayav l'shalim k'fiyanatcha. Afil ke'eitzim ha'omdim l'sreifa ein chayav l'shalim, shachametz v'pesach yisuri ha'nohu, les l'lakolin l'sreifa v'lehenos yimenu. Ihochi afilu b'shogig yeh potem ben atashlumen, ha resrei domim, yisuri hanohu, amrinon masnisar v'yosei gulihu. Namely, that this is the Gemara, he paskins like the other Lashon of the Gemara, that the Mishnah holds lefi domim mishalem, the Sefer of the Mishnah is Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, and the Resha of the Mishnah is Rav Yosei HaGlili. So the two perushim we have over here in the Gemara, Lefi Mida and Lefi Damim, are reflected in Rashi and in Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, Rashi learns Lefi Mida, Rabbeinu Hananel learns Lefi Damim. Why each of them chose the approach that they chose? So all the Achronim talk about this, the Pnei Yoshua and the Tzlach and the, I don't know, whoever else in the back of this volume, the Or Chadosh and the Rosh Yosef, etc. No, for ourselves. Why would you learn the Mishnah Lefi Mida? What do you, we have this open machlokes. Do you pay Lefi Mida or Lefi Damim? Lemaisa, it's a machlokes Tanoim. We're going to see this machlokes Rishonim. Why would you choose Perush X over Perush Y? Why would Rashi, if you were Rashi, why would you choose the Lefi Mida as opposed to the Lefi Damim? According to Lefi Damim, what do you have to introduce into the Mishnah?
Well, if it sets you up better, in terms of the Shakla Tarya,
okay, so I agree with you that Rashi is a pedagogue par excellence, and this requires much less mental gymnastics to learn that the Mishnah is Lefi Mida. Then you know you understand immediately why the Gemara views the Mishnah as a raya to Lefi Mida, and then the Gemara's docha, there's another option. But Lefi Mida is the smoother option. But not only is Lefi Mida a smoother option, but what does it allow us to do within the Mishnah? In terms of background, in other words, if we have a chokes Rav Yehuda, Rav Yishuv, Rav Yosei Glili, is chametz muter b'hanoah and pesach or aser b'hanoah? What's been clear from the entire perek, which is the dominant shita, that it's aser b'hanoah. Right? Rav Yosei Glili is the sore thumb of Chazal. He's brought in. He's a wild card that will bring in if we need him. But who needs him? And we learn the Mishnah that goes according to the mainstream Shita, the Chametz is Aser Bahana, and then it fits in, that's the Ma'ilav, that's what the Gemara says. Look, isn't it easy to learn the Mishnah like Lefi Mida, that the Chiyav over here of Keren V'Chomesh is only because of volume, not because of a value, and then the moment that we move over to a world where we have no Kapar, but Kol Gazlanim, a world of Mezid, then it's because it's valueless, everything, you know, whereas there's not going to be a payment. So Rashi would make sense both on the pedagogical level of Mendel, that it sets up the sugya with the, you know, words with the fewest, with, you know, words, it's it just when you as you're reading the Gemara, you say, oh, our Mishnah is going to be a raya to the Lefi Mida, you know, as you already have that set up for us by Rashi, but also it fits in the halacha that Rav Yosei Glili is rejected by everyone, the halacha. Masha'en ken Rabbeinu Hananel, he could simply learn that we have in the Gemara a Havamina and a Maskana. And so he brought the Maskana of the Gemara. He didn't view the Rav Nechunya ben Hakana Rizagulili as a Dechia, but rather as a Maskana. In other words, that there's a Havamina of Lefi Mida and a Maskana of Lefi Damim. particularly if we're going to go according to the Rambam, that's where you paskin. We paskin lefi damim. So he set it up according to a psak halacha. Yes.
Before we get to the
lemer
previous to that, it isn't that there's a maskrana that's opposite from that. I mean, it's just that there's no hekra. So that's why. So why is that any better?
I agree with you 1,000%. That in other words, from the Gemara, there's no hekreach that the Gemara raised the option. Maybe we'll bring a riot to the midah and rejected it. However, if you look in the Achronim, they speak of the fact, oh, Rashi always passes like the Havamina, or Rashi will always explain like a Havamina, because of the logical consistency. Masha'en Kain, Rabbeinu Hanana would be according to the Maskana. But I agree with you, you don't have to set it up as Havamina Maskana, but it could be a question simply, what point over here do we want to set this up according to Psak Halacha? Rashi wants to set this up according to the Psak Halacha of Maseches Psachim, and we pass in the Chametz is Aser Bahano on Pesach. Masha'en Kain Rabbeinu Hanana wants to set it up according to Psak Halacha of that Lefi Damim Mishalem, and then we're going to end up with Rav Nechunya Ben Akana and Rav Yossi Aguli. Yes?
I think it would be slightly the other way.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you would have Lefi Damim, because Lefi Damim presents a problem of making a Nikita with Sam Mishnah according to Rav Yossi Aguli. It's very problematic.
Right.
On the other hand, Rav Nechunya Ben Akana might say that Rav Lozer Ben Yaakov is disabled.
Kavanaki, right?
And,
right. That, in other words, that what we find is that we Gemara later on we're going to see that Rabbi Akiva and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you know, are both on the same side of Lefi Damim Mishalim. So clearly, that's what pushed the Rambam to paskin that way, and therefore the Rabbeinu Hananel would want to set up the Mishnah according to that psak halacha. Okay, so that's an open question. What's frightening over here is that there's a third perish also on the Mishnah. But that's not over here on the page. But if you move into the back of your Gemara, look into the Rambam and the Perish HaMishnayos. Again, it depends on which Gemara you have, but many times the Perish Mishnayos is found between the Rosh and the Maharsha. So if you can find the Perish Mishnayos of the Rambam on our Mishnah, Ha'ochel Trumas Chametz Pesach B'Shogeg, he writes as follows. Od Ava'er Lecha B'Meseches Makos Ki Ha'ochel Chametz B'Pesach Loke Ve'ikar Etzlenu Ein Adam Loke U'Meshalem Lefikach Patur Min HaTashlumen U'Midme Eitzim Shi'uro Afilu d'me eitzim eno meshalim. V'lo nomar nachshov zeh hachametz kilu hu eitz ba'alma l'fi shu aser b'hana. L'fikach ein meshalim afilu d'me eitzim. Namely, the Rambam over here appears to be explaining the seifa of the Mishnah. That if you went ahead and ate the chametz b'mezid, then there's not going to be any payment. Even though when you ate it b'shogeg, there was a payment, when you eat it b'mezid, there is no payment. Why? Because when you eat chametz b'mezid, there's malkos. And the moment there's malkos, ein adam loke u'meshalem. So there's no payment. Where did the Rambam pull this from? Where, in other words, what's going on over here? We have over here a Mishnah, and we have within the Gemara we have a stage in which the Gemara says the Mishnah fits in according to lefi midah meshalem. And therefore, the ratio is dealing with the case of a payment of kapara. And the seifa is because it's isuri hanoa, there's no payment. Or we'll say no. The ratio, we're dealing with the case of value, because we're going to say, but in the seifa, we're off on a technicality because of Rav Nechunya Ben Akana, you're not going to have misudei shamayim and a payment. Also, the Rambam brings in a sugi in Makos, that whenever you have Malkos, there is no mamon. And therefore, in the seifa, since there is Malkos, you're mazid, there's not going to be mammon. But how did the Rambam understand the resha? Where does the payment come from in the resha? That the Rambam doesn't explain to us at all. And the question is, how do we understand the Mishnah according to the Rambam? What was he working off of? If we're dealing over here with the world of Isurei Hana'a, and the Rambam paskins lefi damim mishalem, then there should be no payment in the resha, or the Seifa. If we're dealing over here with the world of Lefi Mida Meshalim, and that's where the payment comes in the Reisha. So why have to come on to Ein Adam Loku Meshalim for the Sefer? Simply say, the Sefer, there's no Kapara. And then what did the Rambam, why is he bringing in over here a totally new factor which isn't mentioned at all in the Gemara? What pushed the Rambam over here to learn the Mishnah in a manner which is not at all hinted at in our Gemara? But the Rambam says, however, it fits in with Shas. It fits in with what I explained to you in Maseches Makos, that Ein Adam Loko Meshalem, and whenever there's Malkos, there's no Tashlumen. What, in other words, how simply do we understand the Rambam? How did you understand the Reisha? If we're dealing in the world of Lefimida Meshalem, so then the Reisha makes sense, Kapara, but then why have to come on to Ein Adam Loko Meshalem for the Seifa? Simply learn that it's Asur Bahano, like Rashi did. If you want to learn the Reisha that you have a payment because of Rav Yossi Haglili, you have a payment because of Rav Yossi Haglili, so why have to come on to Ein Adam Loko Meshalem? So bring in Rav Nachunya ben Akana. Namely, why set up a third Perush if the Gemara already has two very, very fine options? Yes?
There's a bigger option. Like Yossi says, that there's no coming. Unlike the Rabbi, maybe, and the punishment Mishamayim. The Rambam is holding that you only can have a coming. The Rabbi, if you have something that's beyond Bezdin, you have Malkos and you have Tashlu, but he holds you don't have that, so he can't bring that in.
Were we not to paskin like Rav Nachunya ben Hakana, you would be correct. But we do pass like Rav Nachunya ben Hakana. So why then would and the Rama pass like Rav Nachunya ben Hakana, that even in the world of Kares we're going to have a Ptur Tashlumen. So what, in other words, what pushed the Rambam to bring in a new factor? What pushed the Rambam? Yes?
In the Risha, isn't it possible that even the comics of the Shogig also, and that's why there
wouldn't be... Excellent. Very, very nice. Then what the Rambam said, the Rambam over here is writing a Perush on Mishnayos. He's reading the Mishnayos one after the other. We're talking now in Maseches Psachim. We're not learning Maseches Truma. What the Gemara does is brings in the Mishnah Maseches Truma and then understands our Mishnah in the light of Maseches Truma. But let's say we were just reading Mishnayos, and you read Ha'ochel Truma Schametz V'Pesach B'Shogeg Mishalim Keren V'Chomesh. The mezid pator mitashlumim dmei etzim. What you would say was lechora over here, the world of shogeg and mezid, we're talking about the world of chametz. Are you aware this is chametz, or are you unaware that this is chametz? If you're unaware this is chametz, so then there is no malkos, and since it's truma, so you pay keren v'chomesh. If you're aware this is chametz, then you're mezid on the chametz. Then there's malkos. The moment that there is malkos, then even if you're unaware that there is truma, b'chol zot, you're going to be patur because of the din of enam lokeh u'meshalim. Now what the Rambam did was read the Mishnah as a Mishnah within the world of chametz on Pesach. That's, in other words, and within the world of chametz on Pesach, the difference over here between the Reisha and the Seifa, the Shogeg and the Mezid, is in the world of Pesach. On the level of Truma, you're Shogeg both in the Reisha and in the Seifa. Therefore, Keren V'Chomesh is Shayach in the Reisha and the Seifa. The difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is in the Reisha there's no Malkos, so you pay Keren V'Chomesh. In the Seifa, we have a din of Ein Adam Loko Meshalem, and therefore, you're going to be Potter from the Tashlumen. That would be a very, very nice way of reading the Mishnah. The Gemara brings in the whole sugya from in terms of truma, and then if we're dealing with it in the world of truma, so then the ratio would be that you're eating b'shogeg, truma b'shogeg, and the sefer would be you're eating truma b'mezid, and that would be the difference. In the ratio we have a tashlum of kapara, in the sefer we have a tashlum of gzela. That would be according to the Gemara, and then you would deal with b'fimida b'shalim, b'fidam b'shalim, how it's going to work out. But within the world, I 100% I agree with Gil, that within the Perush HaMishnayos, you can learn this, that everyone is talking about, you're eating the Truma B'Shogeg, Keren V'Chomesh is on the table in the Reisha and the Seifa. The difference is your relationship to the Chametz. Is your Chametz Shogeg? Then the payment of Keren V'Chomesh of Truma comes to the fore. If your Chametz is Mezid, then you're Loke. And if you're Loke, then there's no Tashlumen, even though you're eating the Truma B'Shogeg. I think that would be a very nice parish. And then the Rambam adds in, not only, in other words, that not only are you potter from tashlum of keren v'chomesh, you're potter even as a gazlan, that there's no value over here. You're potter even from demei etzim. This is pure isuri hana'a. There's no reason you're going to be chayav either on the level of a payment of kapara or on the level of a payment of a gazlan. That's what the Rambam stresses, that even on the level of demei etzim, we're not going to say, forget about truma. This is eitz ba'alma. The bottom line is aser ba'hana'a, and therefore there's not going to be a tashlum at all. Okay, so we have then the Rashi choosing the perush of the Gemara, which is pedagogically or halachically more viable, the Rabbeinu Hananel choosing the perush which may fit in with his understanding of the bottom line halacha in terms of lefi damim mishalem, and the Rambam learning a perush that fits very beautifully into a perush hamishnayis and doesn't get it all involved in the whole issue of truma. The Rambam doesn't bring down this mishnah at all in Hilchos Pesach, because the Gemara takes it to the world of Truma. So in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam brings this only in Hilchos Truma, but within his parish of Mishnayis, he's explaining the Mishnah within the context of Psachim. Okay. I assume that you saw over here the Gemara that, in other words, we have the Mach Kitanoi. The Gemara over here basically raises the options of how to learn the Tanoim, and the Gemara comes to Maskana on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva, we're dealing with Lefi Damim Mishalim. You see over here the little Aleph of the Rambam. That's where he paskins in Hilchos Truma Perek Yud Helcha Kafav. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds Lefi Mida Mishalim. That's the way the Ravid paskins. Again, from the Sugya, it can go either way, except, in other words, what was pointed out a minute ago is that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we have a rule of Mishnaso Kav Benaki, Rabbi Akiva, generally Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, against Chaverov, and so the Rambam certainly has what to be somechon to say, Lefi Damim Mishalem, even though according to that we have to set up the Mishnah as Rav Yosei Aglili, and Rav Dukunya ben Akonek, becomes much more complicated. Okay, we have possibility of one more shir. Are we on for Wednesday, the Seder? Okay, so we'll continue in the Gemara with the Gemara that deals with Ha'ochel Kezayis Truma. We'll get as far as we can get. the Gemara over here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, we already have tosos that are relevant to the sugya on the Daf. We'll try and finish Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Maybe move a little bit into the Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. We're going to end off Echshaloyeh before we see the entire sugya. The only thing that we left out on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph was that when you're giving the Kohen produce as your payment of kapara, it has to be produce that could become truma. That's both from a halachic perspective, namely that we're dealing with produce that has value from an economic perspective, as opposed to the trumas tutim va'anovim shenitma'a, that, you know, they can only be used as fuel, but they're liquid, so they have no value at all, and as opposed to chametz on Pesach, which is valueless, that can't be used as a payment of the kapara. And the Rashi says that the Gemara will explain this later on. That later on is on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph on the bottom, to Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph on the top. So that we're not going to get to on Wednesday. But we'll try and just continue over here in terms of the criteria of payment in terms of using kezayis, shavapruta, etc., and trying to fit it in into our B, that we're dealing with the kapara. The question is the kapara according to the standards of gzela, or according to the standards of gzela slash midah, whichever is higher? Excuse me?
We have
intimacy, right? Yeah. So our assumption is that according to both sides, it's not going to be makila, not like Rabbi Kiva Eger.